You are listening to Sid Weighs In. We're a Tuck School business professor, associate dean for executive education, and an expert on strategy and leadership. Sidney Finkelstein shares his views on what leaders are doing, why they are doing it, and whether it makes sense for them and for you.
Hi, this is Sid Finkelstein from the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. I'm a professor here and a columnist at the BBC, and this is another edition of Sid Weighs In, where I talk about one of my recent columns and do that in a chatting format with one of my great students. So let's first of all welcome our guest host today. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi, I'm Deirdre Garahan. I'm a second-year student at Tuck and getting ready to graduate here. I just came back from a fantastic Tuck spring break trip on an expedition to Georgia and Armenia, and I'm ready to just start discussing articles, getting back down to business.
Wow, that's some trip. What was one of the highlights of that trip?
Oh, it was just fascinating. We were able to meet people in public service and government and companies, just all ends of the spectrum, and seeing, you know, how policy decisions, you know, reflect out into the business environment. And it's just, I'm really excited to kind of think about more international development type of work in the future.
So something like this actually helps trigger some other thoughts and maybe even get you excited about something you may not have thought about as much before.
Definitely.
Yeah, I love the idea. But it doesn't sound like it's all that consistent with simplicity.
No, I would say it was very busy.
Because we're going to talk about simplicity today. In fact, the title of the column is Why is Simplicity So Complicated? And so, Deirdre, you looked at a couple of these columns and thought this was kind of an interesting one to talk about. What kind of triggered your interest?
Yeah, I would say I describe myself as someone who just loves busy. I love doing a million things. I feel like I always have since I'm growing up and just managing a lot. But then at the same time, I think when I go on vacation, I unplug. Even on this last trip, you know, I try to, like, you know, if there's Wi-Fi, I'm not going to connect. And I think that's how I kind of balance it. And I'm very conscious about how do you keep things simple versus, you know, busy and hectic. And I guess I try to separate them out. So I thought this article was fascinating because it's talking about how do you actually put that simplicity in work, not just when you're on a vacation.
Right. During the day, in fact.
Yeah.
What do you think about multitasking?
Oh, I'm all about multitasking.
Yeah, I think all of us are. But research on multitasking shows in general that, you know, we're nearly as good as we think we are. But you know, we live in a world, a 24/7 world, and you're about to graduate from Tuck and get into get back to your career in a high powered job, and you're not exactly going to have a lot of free time.
No, so trying to figure out how I can do as much as possible, but keep it kind of simple and get all the benefits of that is definitely a goal of mine.
So I'm going to ask you to just read a bit of the column, and we'll chat a little bit as we're going along.
Sounds perfect. So does managing everyday life feel as if it has become too complex and stress-inducing? Definitely relatable. One thing most people, no matter what they do at work and outside of work, seem to have in common is that they're always busy, always on, always trying to keep up with an endless array of challenges and tasks hurtling their way. Even when most people know what they need to do, the sheer volume of tasks filling up countless sticky notes, smartphone memos, and the good old-fashioned to-do lists adds up to one big serving of complexity.
Those sticky notes are the bane of my existence. It's a genius idea.
I love sticky
and I'm
notes.
Sure every business school student has read about 3M's development of this as a mistake that turned out to be a big blockbuster, but they are everywhere.
Yes. But the satisfying crinkle when you just, done.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's the secret to these things, when you get rid of it. Let's keep going.
Okay. Technology is meant to make everyday life more efficient, but ironically, it too creates its share of unnecessary complexity, with profuse password prompts and inboxes brimming with 500 new emails per day. Why do I need to sign into an app or website using Facebook or Twitter? And the pile-on of technological simplifiers that complicate things goes on and on. Just how many passwords do you have to remember to sign into everything you need for daily life and work?
You know, the only people that keep track of our passwords better than us are the hackers.
Yes. Oh.
I never had a good system for passwords. You know, you have to always have a different one. You have to keep changing it. Mm-hmm. And I know there's various, you know, protocols you can use and kind of keep it somewhere and go through security. But someone's got to come up with a better system. I don't know. It's a retina display or not display, yeah. retina reading or something like that.
I think that's one of the most stressful things for me coming back from vacation is then having to remember the passwords. embracing real simplicity in everyday life isn't always easy, but it's not impossible. And there are things we can do to create more complexity-free zones. Start by looking for the simple solution to things, at least as a first step. This can be almost laughably easy. What's the first thing you should do when your computer, printer, or modem freezes? Unplug. Before I learned that little lesson, how much time did I waste looking at manuals, waiting for tech support, and calling customer service?
And by the way, the metaphor of unplugging is absolutely right. You know, you get overwhelmed, you're doing a million things. Just walk away for a second. Just unplug mentally in the same way that you need to do that with your modem or what have you. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes it helps.
Definitely good. So creating complexity-free zones at work could be a lot tougher, depending on what you do, but here are three ideas that could help. First, don't constantly check your email. The only way to do that is to exit Outlook or whatever email service you use. The temptation to check what's there is too great otherwise. Carve out a time period. Start with 20 minutes and move up to 2 hours or longer when you're just not connected. This might not be feasible for everyone, but 20 minutes is a manageable start for most.
Well, what do you think of that? Can you do it? Do you do it?
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps here just thinking about it.
It's hard. It's hard for me. I used to be better at it, and then, I don't know, you just lose a bit of discipline, and then you have that unnecessary curiosity about what's coming in. Mm-hmm. And then it flashes up in the corner. I'm sure we can get rid of that, but it shows you who's, you know, what messages are coming. But as I wrote this and thought about it, I started to kind of, eat my own messages here. Yeah. And I'm starting to do it more and more.
And have you felt the results?
It's not that hard. It's amazing how easy it is. It's just the thought of doing it kind of starts to freak you out, and you got to know everything's going on. Now, I know that if I'm in the middle of doing a deal of some type or some career where that's what you're always on, I got that. But for most of us, that's not the way it is 24/7.
I like that. So if you can't do that, your problem is less that you've got too much to do and likely more about email addiction.
Right.
Very true. By the way, phones still work, so it's not as if you're locking yourself up in a monastery by shutting down Outlook for a bit.
All right, what's the second cool idea?
React less. Many managers spend their days fighting fires, reacting to what is happening, rather than controlling events. You can get better at this by building a 15-minute reflection break into as many of your days as possible. This is where you think, I know, almost unheard of in our 24/7 world. Think about what you should do better, differently, or not at all. Take time to be more proactive rather than reactive. The greater sense of control that comes with reflection will pay for itself many times over in the form of reduced stress.
Yeah, I work with a lot of senior executives, and we talk about this very often. And they don't feel like they have the time to do it, and I just keep pushing them, you know, just take 10 minutes. 10 minutes is not a lot. Imagine how many 10-minute blocks in a day are being wasted anyways. Just take one and close the door and close your eyes if you need to. And they're skeptical, but when they start, that's where a different type of addiction comes in because they get such a benefit from it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, whether it's – it borders on meditation at some point, which is also a really good thing. But we're always running around, and it's true for students as well. You know, you have a lot more free time than you're going to have soon,
yes.
As you may or may not realize, much more. But how much time is spent, you know, reflecting, just not really studying anything or preparing for anything, but just letting your mind kind of wander a little bit and think about what's been going on. It might sound really touchy feely, but it has a big payoff.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be able to implement this one, taking time. I think whenever I do make time, I see the benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like this one's a good quick win.
Okay.
Okay, number three, use your resources. Imagine you could magically create a team of people who can contribute rather than having you do everything yourself. Newsflash, if you're a manager, you've probably got a team of people reporting to you already. The best managers are great delegators. Are you? It's not simple to be a manager, but the principles of delegation are simple enough. Set clear goals. Empower people to take charge. Hold them accountable. Coach them. You'll know you're getting this responsibility right when you feel confident enough to take your reflection breaks every day.
So, you know, delegation to me, again, is one of the giant differentiators of good managers versus not so great managers. And this is interesting. I wonder what you think about it. But I've seen this problem to be probably a bigger problem for women executives, more so than male executives. And I bring it up sometimes, and I say, well, at the risk of, you know, stereotyping, but people resonate with that right away. And, you know, and maybe there's something about, you know, the role of a woman in business and at home tends to be bigger than men on average. And maybe there's something, some social thing that's going on or cultural thing where you feel like you got to do so much. And then you don't actually let go and delegate and as much as you should. And without that, you really, you can't get everything done. And you won't get the most out of your team either.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's some truth to that. I think if you look at kind of brain science, I was a cognitive science major, so I'm into this.
Good, okay.
You know, female brains on average are going to be better at multitasking than males. I think part of that, there's great benefits. Again, you can just do a lot, think a lot, and integrate things really well. Downside could be a hesitation to use resources because you can typically try to multi-manage things, and it's, I think, can be harder to let go because you're used to controlling a lot of things at once.
Yeah, that's an interesting source of where that comes from. But I certainly have seen it. Just more generally about delegation, when I'm coaching executives and they talk about the delegation issue and they talk about especially how busy they are, I ask them about delegation. And what often comes out is they don't always trust their team.
Yeah.
And it gets to something as fundamental as that. And if that's really what's behind it, and it takes some self-awareness and some reflection to get there, you have to think about, do you have the right team? And if you have the right team and you still don't trust them, well, then there's something about you in terms of being able to let go and not recognizing maybe but that by delegating and delegating effectively, you help other people get better. And that's a win-win for everybody.
Hmm.
So wrapping up, you know, these are three ideas.
Yeah.
Bringing simplicity into our everyday life. I don't think they're that difficult. Of course, they're not that difficult until we try to do them, right? And so are you ready to start doing some of these?
You know, I think I am. I think I have a couple more months here at Tuck. And as you say, it's only going to get busier. So if I can't have simplicity here, I'm not sure where.
It's actually a kind of like an easy place to try, because what's the big deal? You know, you got this flexibility as a student that really doesn't exist in a short period of time. So, well, thank you, Deirdre, for being with us today and having a good chat about why simplicity is so complicated.
Thank you so much.
This has been Sid Wazin. If you would like to comment on this podcast, follow Professor Finkelstein on Twitter @SidFinkelstein, #SidWazin. Thank you for listening.